Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Inside and you'll find breaking out in me. Silence or rage for when you're by my side, bursting at the seams. Don't waste a moment, right now is all that we have. Lost our lives in the past. Where do the seconds go?
Oh,
We're D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond.
We sounded like a ball of fire there, didn't
we? Yeah,
yeah. It's been a long week.
Well, and then tonight, our scheduled people, they're at a Lee Zeldin Get Out the Vote rally. So, yeah, half the people that we know are there.
So?
So, be tough to, for call-ins.
Well, yeah, but we have somebody that's not even from Western New York on the show, and most of the time we do. So,
yeah.
So speaking of Lee Zeldin and Kathy Hochul and their fabulous debate.
Yeah.
A couple nights ago.
Their one and only debate.
Yeah, the one and only debate. And I don't know, it was different. Something was off about it to me. I don't know, it just felt weird.
Yeah, you know, some people say Hochul or Zeldin won. Other people say Hochul won. And other people, you know, say that neither of them won, that they just both threw some punches, both had some highlights, both had some low points.
Yeah.
And I think that's that was my opinion, too.
Especially where Hochul said about the, I don't know what you're so worried about. Crime for Lee.
Yeah, right, right. Well, that was one of her low points, yeah.
Yeah, when somebody pushes somebody into the subway rail this week.
And
that just seemed to be no big deal.
And the killing of the mother in Cheektowaga.
Well, that was like a month or so ago already, but yeah. But that's just the tip of the iceberg for the crime going on, because bail reform's working.
Yeah, it's working to get people killed.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. You know, I think it's going to be an interesting 2 weeks with this whole. Personally, I'm sick of it. So I'll kind of be glad when it's over, because it feels like a decade now of slandering and, you know, oh, let's get the red wave, and which would be great, you know, but I just want it to be over.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but.
Yeah, let's see what happens with early voting, too. I know that during the primary, it was about 0.5% of the registered voters came out and voted early. And in just our county, I figured out, just for the election inspectors, those are the people that, you know, sign in and give you your ballot.
Yeah.
And this is early voting for the primary. It was about 1%, less than 1% of the people, the registered voters, and it cost at least $250,000 just in salaries, and that doesn't include the Board of Elections people that were running back and forth and hauling the equipment and doing that. You know, this is just the people at the polls.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I don't know about this early voting. Everybody says, go on election day and vote.
Wow. I mean, that's the way it used to be.
There's
never early voting.
Yeah.
I mean, what do we need this for exactly?
Right.
Like, what is the point of this? They wanted it during COVID, right? Which, whatever. They wanted to spread out the voters or whatever. But
and that's why they wanted the mail-in voting too.
Right. Well, we don't need this now. You know, COVID is done.
Right.
If it ever even was, and you know, there's no reason for this except unless they've got some things up their sleeve for fudging the votes. I mean, it's a possibility after listening to last week's show. And if you guys missed last week's show, definitely tune into that. We had on the New York State audit. And, you know, they're not just doing these audits in New York State. They're doing them everywhere in several states. And, you know, another eye-opening experience listening to them talk about the potential voter fraud in New York State that they're uncovering.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my guess is there's definitely something hairy going on here.
Yep. And a judge just threw out the Democrats' attempt to, I guess they mailed out a bunch of mail-in ballots that already had one or two of the boxes checked.
Mm.
So they threw all those out.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, perhaps they know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I think we should shift gears a little bit to some of the things going on with the Children's Health Defense that he put out. Kennedy put out that movie. Now, I haven't watched the second half, but we watched the first half of Fauci, the real truth about Fauci or whatever the name of
Fauci. Fauci,
whatever. Yeah, Fauci, Fauci, what's the difference with his name at this point? He's going to be gone in December. But, you know, talking about everything that has led up to the scam.
Yeah. And you know, from my understanding, Fauci, you know, he wants to have his name in the history books. And he wanted to cure AIDS. Well, you know, he couldn't do that. And most of part one was about the past and his fight against AIDS and the screw-ups that he had and some of the things that he said. And now with COVID, he wants his name in the history books again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the interesting thing going back to the debate was you heard Kathy Hochul say that she wouldn't do any mandates and she wouldn't mandate vaccines and stuff like that. Well, she just did a bunch of mandates for COVID and mandated vaccines. So what, is she backpedaling because of the election and then after November 8th, she'll go back to her old ways? You know,
yeah, I
guess so.
No, it's hard to tell. It's hard to know. You know, I'm guessing if she gets reelected, nothing good is going to happen. And if he gets elected, not much will happen unless they change the Senate and, you know.
Yeah, unless we pick up.
Yeah.
I think we got to pick up 13 seats in the Senate.
Right.
And then that'll get rid of their supermajority, and we'll be able to, you know, at least block the craziness that comes out of the Assembly, because we'll never have the Assembly.
Right. No. Oh, God, no. You know, and there's some really good people that are running for Assembly, too. You know, they could get in there and have their voice, but as a totality for the votes, you know, that would take 30 years, I think.
Yeah, the Assembly's one-party rule.
Yeah.
And it's 2-1, and the chances of us getting, you know, making it 1-1 where, you know, people could reach across the aisle and things. Right now, the only time they reach across the aisle is to slap someone in the face.
Yeah, that's about it, right? I can think of somebody in particular I'm thinking about. But they did overturn the workers' vaccine mandate in New York City,
mm-hmm.
Which was really cool, and also the healthcare workers. And already, they're appealing this. Hochul and her posse are appealing this. What's going to become of it, I don't know, but they've basically ordered these people to go back to work with back pay.
Yeah, which is
and
fantastic.
These employers, of course it is, but these employers have got to be shitting a brick. Yeah. Where are they going to come up with that big chunk of change? I don't know.
And it's not just their pay, but they've got to pay, you know, their share of the taxes on it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But anywho, so out of New York State, we got a lot going on out of New York State too. There was a bunch of states that came through, and they said that they were not ever going to mandate COVID vaccines for kids to get into school. They basically, you know, have said it's dead on arrival, and those states as of October 3rd, and that may have changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there may have been more that are added, were Montana, Idaho, Utah, Arizona, South Dakota, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Iowa, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, of course, South Carolina, West Virginia, which is kind of interesting to me because West Virginia doesn't even have any exemptions,
mm-hmm.
Ohio, Indiana, Michigan, and New Hampshire. They've all basically said that, yeah, there's no COVID vaccine for these kids to attend school. Although the state of California issued a mandate that takes effect in 2023, so did the District of Columbia. So, and that's sitting there for New York. You know, and I say this pretty much every week, parents, be prepared, because if she gets in, more than likely that will get voted in.
Yep.
And, you know, there's big chunks of change from the drug companies in Albany here.
Yeah, and it's not only for Albany, but it's also for the doctors. They get paid by the drug companies to give all these vaccines.
Oh, yeah, they get paid average, if I remember right, for a child to be caught up on all their yearly vaccines, it's like a bonus between $15,000 and $35,000, depending on what the dynamics of that are. So, of course, there is no health care anymore. It's sick care.
Mm-hmm.
It's sick care. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever. Whatever. So, what else? What else we got? Come on.
What else we got? Okay. Well, you guys see what's going on with the housing market. You know, the mortgage interest rates are rising. The Federal Reserve is trying to cool down the economy a little bit, you know, to keep us from going into keep us from becoming Argentina or Venezuela, where our currency just becomes worthless, you know. And if you'll notice, all the paper currency, you go on the back, it says, "In God We Trust." That's because, you know, it's getting to the point where it's not worth the paper that it's written on.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I think the feds came out today and they actually are agreeing now that the housing prices are going to come down.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they're saying it, then they're saying it. You know,
right.
Who are they? They're running our lives. We don't even know who they are. So,
you know, an interesting thing about the Fed was the Fed, when they were created back in the 19-teens, their sole purpose was to prevent to preserve the value of the currency. That was it. They, you know, they weren't supposed to care about unemployment or employment or any of that. It was just to preserve the value of the currency. Well, you know, you start looking at the charts of what things used to be worth and what they're worth now, and they definitely haven't preserved the value of the currency.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, a lot of countries are still investing in the U.S. because, as I call it, we're the least worst currency. Everybody's got runaway inflation. Everybody's currency is devaluing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ours is not. It's doing it too, but it's just not as quick.
Right.
So.
Well, I think there's a whole big push there, and they really want, you know, they want to push in the digital currency. That's what they want. You know, that's the whole idea of this central bank ruling. So.
They've got the chip readers on our credit cards and stuff. Eventually, they want to implant a chip in your hand, and you know, supposedly it's for your banking. But what else are they going to put in that little chip?
Mm.
Who knows?
Well, it could be in the vaccine already.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
So, what else you want to talk about before we bring our guest on?
Oh yeah, talking about chips. I guess in central New York, they're going to be making a chip manufacturer, and this is going to be specifically memory, micros chips. I've used their products for years and years. Being an IT guy, it's good stuff. But they're saying by the end of the decade, now, you know, they'll employ 50,000 people.
Now, is this the Micron thing that you were talking about?
Oh, yeah. You know, and Biden was there today, I guess, talking about it. And
Schumer was too.
Yep. Upchuck, yeah. But anyway, so now 50,000 people, let's put that in perspective. Eastman Kodak in Rochester, during its heyday, had about 27,000 people there, including contractors. Bethlehem Steel was about 25,000 people. So 50,000 people, you're talking about the employment of pretty much all of Buffalo during its heyday. Now, you know, in Buffalo, there's about 1 million people in the county.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what it's going to do for this little town, and that's why when I was watching the news today, they were saying they want to build this thing up slowly because they're going to need the schools and the infrastructure to handle all the people that are going to be moving there. So what are they going to do? Create a new city in the middle of, in central New York, instead of using one of the cities that's slowly dying? I don't know. You know, you've got Syracuse, you've got Ithaca, and, you know, this where they've run the gun companies out of them, losing thousands of jobs. What's going to happen with them?
I'd imagine how to get rid of that. Slim Shady. Oh, my God. So, you know, we were driving out to Warsaw. We had a beautiful wedding this past weekend. And, you know, the leaves were really pretty. The landscaping really pretty. Everything's real nice. And then you see these big, fat, huge windmills everywhere. You know, just disrupting all of God's beautiful creation.
Yeah, and these things, you know, and this is what people don't realize about them. You know, supposedly they're good, you know, well, they don't spin all the time. And each one of them uses about 100 gallons of oil, that nasty, nasty thing, oil.
Oh, I know.
Per year. They cost about $1.2 million to build. If it wasn't if it wasn't for government subsidies, you know, there'd never be a return on investment of them because their lifespan is not that long. And then here's the worst of the worst. They're really not green because once they wear out or they're dead or whatever happens to them, you can't landfill them. So they just have big piles of them everywhere.
Yeah.
But, it's a shame, you know, you're driving everywhere, you know, out in the country, you know, beautiful mountains. And all along the ridges, there's all these darn windmills.
Yeah, so I think that's going to kind of lead us into, you know, the solar energy. You see a lot of the solar panels popping up. And not every aspect and dynamic of these things is bad, you know. It's not. So that's what we're going to be talking
about. Well, it's just
120-foot
blades, and there's three blades on each of them. That means, you know, their span is about, you know, 210, 220 feet. You know, that's a big, big windmill. And I think what our guest is going to be talking about is more the smaller home ones.
Yeah.
Instead of these huge things.
Well, I think from what I gather, he's going to know a lot about a lot of this. We have our guest, Vic Furman. And he stepped up to the plate at the last minute to be on the show, which I was grateful for. This was one of the first shows since January. We didn't have our first weeks, we didn't have a booking.
Right.
You know,
we had
to change somebody around, and I was like, well, you know, what do you want to do? Do you not want to have it? We could do a repeat, and then Vic stepped up. And he is a community activist. He also ran for assembly. I'm not going to go into everything as to what he's done. I'm going to let him talk about it. So we're going to bring Vic on. I think he is 607.
Yeah.
Is it,
or is it?
No.
Oh, okay.
607.
Okay.
Have you got me?
Vic, are you there?
Am I here?
I'm here. Welcome
hey.
To D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. So just to let you know, we're on radio, so there is a slight delay. And we have to go to commercial at 8 o'clock and 8:30 for 4 minutes. We have to pay our sponsors. And you are live and actually worldwide now.
Right.
Yeah, we branched out worldwide. So you're live and worldwide on D&D Delivering the Truth. So I'd like you to just start off before we go to our first commercial in 5 minutes. Just explain to everybody a little bit about your background and what you want to focus on this show today.
Well, for the last 25 years, I've been very active in the community as an activist. I ran for the 122nd Assembly in 2020. I didn't win, but it was a good race, I guess. I study energy, all kinds of energy. That's why I'm here, to talk about energy and your political thing that you did there. Oh, I spoke at universities, too, and I debated with Tony Ingraffia out of Cornell University. I met with Josh Fox and his friend there from the Beatles. I forget her name. But I've got quite a background in community activism. I'm a field director for the Joint Landowners Coalition in New York, and I'm the president of the Sap Bush Road Group.
Okay. And you ran for assembly at one time in New York, right? So you're pretty familiar with what's going on with all the craziness right now.
I am very familiar with the craziness in the New York political scene. I've been to Assembly Day every year for the last 10 years, at least. I've met with senators, Senator Ball, Esposito. I've met with so many, I can't name them. I worked with Tom Livis. I've got quite a background in it.
So where is the 122nd Assembly District?
It covers from parts of Binghamton, Shenango County, and Summit, Delaware County. It's got about 240,000 residents.
Okay, so right along the PA border there in the middle of the state.
Right where the gas drilling would have took place. Had New York allowed gas drilling, that would have been my area.
Okay. So the focus on today's show, we're going to go to our first commercial. So all you got to do is just hang on the line, and we'll be back in about 4 minutes. So we're going to discuss, the green energy thing.
I had to drive 16 miles to get here where I got phone service. Because where I live, there's no phone service. So I'm in a parking lot. I'm in a parking lot and not near a computer. But I took
Wow, that's quite an effort. I feel like we should pay you for that.
Okay, I'll give you my address after the show.
Yeah, right. Depending on our viewers.
I do this for free.
We actually pay them every month.
I'm a community activist. I don't accept pay from anybody because then people say that the pay is what drives me.
Right.
Yeah, we don't get paid. We do it because we want people to know the truth, not just about the corruption in New York State, but, all the other stuff that goes on. Yeah, so that's why. So we're going to go to our first commercial, and then we're going to bring you back on. So D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. We'll be back in 4 minutes. Hang tight, guys.
Please check out the Proof Negative radio show, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. That is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast, with excellent co-hosts, outstanding guests, and lots of great conversation. We can even take your calls. The number is 319-527-6208, and just press lucky number 1, and you will be on the Proof Negative radio show.
Everything's gotten so expensive. I'm gonna starve.
Official sources say inflation is only up 7% from last year.
But the official index doesn't even count food or gas.
Transitory inflation is good and healthy for the economy.
How is it good to not be able to afford food?
Eating fewer meals per day is better for your health.
How are you gonna sit here and tell me not being able to eat food is good for me?
You're out of touch, man.
You can't ignore this problem. Inflation is real, and someone needs to take responsibility.
You're right, man. It's his fault.
Huh? You're under arrest for shoplifting.
But we're in California.
No!
How is inflation affecting you? Leave your comment below. Please like, share, and subscribe. And if you want to help us make more, donate at patreon.com/freedomtunes. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Mike. My birthing partner and I just got our new Lysenica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Lysenica Freedom microchip. As since SHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their freedom microchip, I jumped on the Lysenica joint.
This freedom chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this freedom chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from getting a gene therapy.
These freedom chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart. An employee with inserted in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Lysenica track and trace your every move. You just need a freedom chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Lysenica Freedom microchips. They are sweet.
Okay, we're back.
Vic, are you still there?
No, I'm still here,
and if you lose me for if I get dropped, you can call me right back.
Okay. So let me ask you, you're a specialist of sorts on green energy?
I've been studying all energy for the last 10 years, since 2008. So that's actually a lot longer. That's 14 years. Boy, time flies.
Oh, wow. Yeah, right. So
right?
What do you want to start out with? Do you want to start out with wind, solar, coal?
Well, you kind of led into the windmills already, and your information was a little bit off. So if we can talk about the wind turbines, I'll start with that first.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, now, they say these things are green, but they never pay for the fossil fuels that they use to build them. A wind turbine, for instance, uses 180 tons of steel or more, which uses 240 pounds of coal, the dirtiest coal, it's coke, and to smelt the steel and to mine it, they use over 10,000 gallons of diesel to mine enough coal and melt the steel. That's per windmill, 180 tons and 10,000 gallons of diesel per windmill. A 5-megawatt turbine uses 12,000 gallons of oil over its lifetime. 700 gallons every 9 months is what they use, not 130, whatever it was you said. It's they have to be changed just like you change the oil in your car. And when they leak, they destroy the water above the aquifer and the soil above the aquifer. So, and the other thing they do is concrete. For one windmill, it takes 60 truckloads of concrete or 750 yards, which is very costly when it comes to our carbon footprint. I don't have the figure for you. I'm not at my computer. But when they were fighting natural gas in New York, they thought the concrete for the wall pad, which is about 20 by 10, was too much. And these wall pads they build for the windmills are horrific. And then you got the, I call them windmills, but they're actually wind turbines. They're an industrial machine. Then you got the scenery like you were talking about. They're horrible. They're going all over deposit in Sanford here. They're horrible. They take away the viewscape. They're putting them in the water over in Lake Ontario, on Lake Michigan. Of course, they're not putting them anywhere near Martha's Vineyard. But there's just bad news all the way around. They don't pay for themselves. By the time they have a lifespan of about 7 years, somebody tried to tell me it was 15 years, but I can't find a 15-year-old turbine in anywhere I look. They break down rather quickly. The blades on them are 190 feet long. There's three per, and they use natural gas and fiberglass to build those blades and steel. So wind turbines are very dirty and put more carbon in the air than they will actually save. And I'm not even going to go into the forestation to build those things because they have to put in three access roads to the top of the mountain. So they're cutting all those trees down. But solar's where that's really bad news. If you want, I'll go into solar now, or if you got more questions for me on the
questions. You know, from what I understand, a lot of the birds, they use the updraft on the mountains, you know, to get height instead of flapping their wings. And then, you know, next thing you know, they're going, getting sucked right into a wind turbine, and they become, you know, Thanksgiving dinner for a coyote or something. Mm.
Now, I don't want to give any false information here, but I'm not at my computer, but so I'm going to go by memory, and I'm sure one of your listeners can check this on the computer. But one windmill kills up to 10,000 bats a day, or a night, I guess. So, or not a day, a year. That's a year. I'm sorry, 10,000 a year.
I was like, what?
Right. But they kill condors, they kill eagles, they kill hawks. Not so many, but enough. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. If you killed an eagle, you could go to jail for 20 years. And these windmills are destroying them. They're really cutting down on the population. And that's
they're
science stuff.
Yeah,
right.
They're running.
And they actually, if you have a windmill near a residential area, or even a house in the country, and someone is epileptic in the house or in the neighborhood, a windmill will actually cause them to go into fits because of the flickering of the light when the thing is turning, when the blades are turning in front of it.
Yeah.
So people that have children with epilepsy have to pull the shades down during the day. Can't even look out their windows.
That's insane.
Yeah, and at night, it's like, you know, driving through Nebraska and Iowa where there's, you know, I don't know how many tens of thousands of them all over the place. You know, it looks like they're all blinking red lights in unison, and it looks like they're trying to signal, you know, the aliens up above. That's what
well,
we were kidding.
Small aircraft and... people that fly around in those kites, so I don't know what they're called, but those little airplanes that are, you know, propelled by a lawnmower engine, you know, they have to have those lights for the protection of those people. And then they have to put the wire on them, lights on the wires where their wires are going to the power station so that they can fly around safely. Actually, I think there's a law in New York where they're making those a no-fly zone for a small aircraft. So we can only have so many, right?
Yeah, so knowing what you know and what you just told our listeners and us about, you know, the non-benefits of these, why do you think they're pushing this so hard?
It's money. It's all money-driven. Most of the turbines are built by General Electric in China. They're not made in America. They're made by kids making a dollar a day. And they ship them over here, and I left that part out. They ship them on these shipping barges that only get 8 inches per gallon of diesel. So they're shipping them from China to here using tens of thousands of gallons of diesel. And that's something I didn't factor into that equation. But the money's going to China. It's not coming to the United States. Sure, we got people getting jobs off this, but it's temporary jobs. Once they get 5 or 6 windmills up, I think it creates 2.7 jobs for, I'm just going to say 5 windmills, because they do have to maintain the oil, check for leaks, grease the fittings and all that stuff. But they use a lot of fossil fuels to keep them running. And you know, they're just horrible. They're horrible. I mean, I'm all for all kinds of energy. I sound like I'm anti-wind, but I'm not. I'm just against the lie that they're using to sell them and that the left party, the left, like AOC and Biden and Kamala Harris, they call it green energy. That's the biggest lie right there. It is not green energy. They leave out all the construction, all the shipping, all the mining. Each one of them turbines also takes 6,000 pounds of copper that have to get mined. So it's just a big lie about how safe it is and how good it is for the environment. And solar's not much better. Would you like to hear about solar? Do you have more questions on the
More questions about wind. So,
okay.
You know, driving around and getting pretty darn close to some of these, because some of them are only, you know, 50 yards from the road, mm-hmm. and you could stop and actually hear them, you know, swooshing around. But
right.
Where are all the wires for them? Are they buried?
But some, in most cases, they are buried, but they go to a power station, which is going to be close by. They always want to build them where there's a power station. If there's not one, they'll build a power station.
Yeah, you're talking about the things that are fenced in that have a lot of transformers and stuff, right?
Yeah, right.
You know, and, right. and back in the good old days, all those transformers were filled with an oil that's called PCB that's no longer approved and very, very carcinogenic, very toxic. I don't know what kind of oil they're using now in those transformers. But
In 2010, Governor could run a 5-megawatt cable down the Hudson River. Well, uh-huh. it turned out to be DEC wouldn't let him do it because the muck in the bottom of the river, all the sediment down there, is loaded with PCBs back when General Electric and all those companies were building along the Hudson River. So stirring all the PCBs back up into the water would have been a huge factor. It would have killed off the fish again, which are just now coming back in large numbers in the Hudson. And part of that reason the Hudson River killed so many fish, the plankton are killed. Do you know what plankton is? Plankton
yes.
is the baby fish. Yeah.
Like a single cell organism that's kind of mostly a plant.
Oh, no, plankton is, let's just say minnows.
Okay.
You could be right, I could be wrong, but I'm going by the fish kill. And this is from memory once again. But if you looked up what Indian Point Power Plant was putting out, they had 240-foot water intake to cool the nuclear reactors along the Hudson River.
Mm-hmm.
And those were warming up the water so much, even in the wintertime, it was killing the plankton. It was killing thousands upon thousands of them every day because it would cause the fish to spawn early because they would think it was spring because of the warm water. And it was just killing the river, and that's why the fish declined in that part of the river.
There's a movement here by the Greenies to put the big wind turbines out in Lake Erie. Now,
I'm involved in fighting that too.
Yeah, good friend of mine, Rich Davenport, who's the secretary for the Erie County Federations of Sportsmen's Clubs, he's done a lot of research on it and compiled it all. Now, according to him, now I remember 35 years ago, Lake Erie was dead. Okay, there were no fish in it. You know, you couldn't, even if you caught a fish in it, you weren't allowed to eat it. And now, 35 years later, I guess you can eat a fish a week. And what's happened is from all the rains and snow melts, the mud and silt has covered up all the goop that's down at the bottom of the lake from all the steel mills. And, you know, you remember, it wasn't that long ago, only about 40 years ago, that the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland caught on fire. You know, so that's
yes,
how much,
I do remember that.
That's how much junk they were throwing in their river. So if they build these things out here with, what did you say, 700 yards of concrete per windmill, mm-hmm. they'd be digging up, you know, breaking through the cap that is sealed off all these chemicals, digging it all up. And so that's a short-term effect of polluting our drinking water, because everybody gets drinking water from Lake Erie or the, you know.
Not if I can help it.
Yeah. But then the other big thing is the harmonics that these things give off, the low-frequency noise that we can't hear as humans, but the fish can hear it. And they've done studies.
And that vibrates the water. It vibrates in the water.
Right. And they've done studies where all these sport fishing, like the salmon, and I'm not that much of a fisherman, or I'm not a fisherman at all, it would really mess up their migratory patterns and really mess them up in Lake Erie.
Yeah, I really hate that idea.
They're not good for the ecosystem, that's for sure. They're just not good for the ecosystem. You know, I believe wind is should be available on its own merits, not with all the money that the government's giving them. Because the money for wind and solar, do you know where that comes from? People say, well, it's government subsidies. But in New York, here's where it comes from. We pay for it twice. We pay federal taxes into it. And in New York, if you're a member of NYSEG or one of the other power companies, you're paying 8% on your electric bill towards subsidizing solar farms and wind farms. So you're already paying. It's actually a little code on your electric bill. You'll go down, you'll see 8%. I don't remember what the code is. I think it's SMM. I'm not sure. But you'll see a little code, a number that says 8%. That's what you're being taxed to pay for these subsidies for solar and wind, mainly
and
solar.
It's another one of the breakdowns on the bill, but nobody has any idea what these surcharges and fees are. They just pay it.
Right.
You know, and they just inch up 25 cents, 50 cents, and all of a sudden it's like my actual surcharges and fees are more than my bill.
Right. And I saw one on Facebook that they were joking about the bill. And, you know, another one of the charges was, why not just charge some more, you know, $5.
Right.
And,
yep.
Exactly.
Well, a lot of people think your electric rates are going up because of Biden, and that's partially true, but it's not. It's also partially wrong. Your electric rates are going up because all these solar farms are going in upstate New York. They're not putting them where it'll ruin the viewscape, like clear-cutting Central Park and putting a farm there. They're not doing that. They're just taking our viewscape. But the electric companies have to buy that power from the solar companies, and they pass that cost on to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my electric bill literally tripled.
Yeah, well, mine did, too. I went from paying $180 last year. My electric bill now is averaging a little over $400.
Wow.
And it's supposed to go up again next month.
Well, I have a friend who owns, and it's a pretty large restaurant around here. You know, it's pretty sizable. But her electric bill is about $4,500 a month.
$4,500
a month. I mean, that is just unbelievable.
So let's stay on wind power a little bit. So can you tell us a little bit about the residential wind turbines? You know, again, you go out into farm country, and you'll see one, you know, up on a mast, and, you know, the blades maybe a 10-foot diameter with the blades spinning pretty quick.
They're
190 miles an hour they're going around.
Wow. And
it doesn't look like it because they're so big.
Yeah, they don't look that big compared to, you know, the others.
Well, it doesn't look like they're moving fast, but from tip to tip, they're moving between 180 and 190 miles an hour.
Oh,
wow.
And that's with a 5-mile-per-hour wind.
Wow. So from what I understand about the residential ones, they've got to be 125 feet away from any trees or any obstructions, because you start looking at wind like being a liquid, and, you know, if it hits a house, it's going to, you know, make it into a wave instead of a straight line wind. So these things have to be up high enough to get away from those waves and currents that obstacles create. Is that correct?
You're partially right. First, let me say this: if you're in a residential area and they're going to put a windmill up in your area, before you let them do that, you need to get a lawyer to go over the contract. New York, I believe, just passed a law, and this is where you were partially wrong. just passed a law that windmills have to be 450 feet away from any dwelling where people reside. The blades are 190 feet, don't forget. And when they come, when those blades do get knocked off, they fall off. The fiberglass fails, the steel bolts fail. They fall off, and they go shooting when they do. And if you go on Google and just Google windmill blades falling off of windmills, there's all kinds of videos where you can actually see it happening. Some of the California fires are caused because a windmill catches fire and falls into the forest. So there's all kinds of concerns when it comes to the to these windmills. It's crazy what they do. I keep saying that, but if people knew what green energy really was, they'd be 100% against it. But the problem is people don't listen to shows like this. It's like politicians when they run for office. They don't listen to the politician. They don't know of a politician. I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of them will vote for the one with the most yard signs. And that's what's happening with green energy. We got, I think, 16 Democrat states, which are pushing all major cities, which are pushing wind and solar on the public with a lie. They're telling them it's green energy, but it's not green energy. It's like I said a few minutes ago. This energy should support itself. Even gas and oil get subsidized too, but wind and solar are subsidized over 1,000% more, in some cases 2,500% more than the oil and gas companies are. So when people say, well, oil and gas are subsidized, that's true. And they always have been. They probably always will be. But this green energy is soaking up our tax dollars. Just for Biden's green energy plan that he's paying for this year with that Build Back Better law that he passed, we could have put every American family that is homeless, every veteran, every person suffering from mental problems in their own private home with health care. Just on 1 year's cost, and there'd be no homelessness in the United States. Every veteran would have a home. Every person with a mental problem would have a place to go and be taken care of. But instead, we're cutting costs to the mental health people. We're cutting costs to the homeless. We're creating homeless. Look at California. Everybody's moving there because it's warmer. It's better to live in a warm climate than it is in a cold climate if you're going to be homeless.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Now, the windmills I was talking about are the little ones that you see on farms that have to be 125 feet away from any obstacle, and that was for wind currents, not safety of the blades flying off. You know, I was talking little ones.
They're about 150 feet tall. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and they've got, the blades might be 4 or 5 feet, each one, three blades.
They're very, very low output on those. It's enough to do the lights maybe, but not run your refrigerator and freezer. I don't know what the setback is on them because those are like a personal product and not industrial. So I haven't studied on them too much, but I do know I've seen them in the area. And they're pretty close to the homes. They're, I would say, at least 50 feet.
Yeah.
Right, right.
So,
just they're, not downwind of the home, in which case I think they've got to be 100, 125 feet, so they don't end up with the currents. Now, do you know anything with the personal ones, too? And these seem, at least with my limited knowledge, to be the most promising for residential use is the vertical turbines. Do you know anything about those?
I've seen those. I have never seen one in this area, but I've seen them online. And, they're always going to be moving forward with the research and development. If they work, they work. But I have no idea about them. I see they put them up to catch the traffic along the highways on the other side of the guardrails. I think they're doing that in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen those on signs and stuff.
I'm very up very far upstate. I'm not by you guys at all, I don't think. I'm Binghamton.
Right, right. Yeah, you're about 3 hours away.
Okay. Right.
So, yeah, the ones that I've seen, you know, again, online, the most promising thing about them is you don't have to have them up on a pole. You can put them, you know, mount them right on your roof like a satellite dish, okay? And they're vertical, so they, you know, they spin around and around on a vertical axis instead of a horizontal axis. So the wind from any direction, you know, you don't need all those bearings to make the thing turn around like
right.
the regular mills. And, you know, like a 2-kilowatt one is about the biggest one you could get, which isn't real, real big. Now, the real big ones, the big commercial ones, you know, how many kilowatts does this put out?
I got that right here in my notes. That's 5 megawatts.
Okay,
that's
5 megawatts.
To power about 30, that's enough to power about 30,000 homes.
Yeah, if it's spinning.
Well, that's the big thing. They also shut down if the wind's too high because they can't spin faster than so many miles an hour.
Right.
The ideal wind is 5 to 12 miles an hour. After that, you on a windy day, if you see a windmill not spinning, it's because they had to shut it down so it doesn't catch fire.
Yeah, there's actually governors on them, I think. And
yeah.
And what I've read about them, you know, they'll have 10 windmills, and each one of them will be set to spin at a different wind velocity. So
yeah, you better hope it's working right. So listen, Vic, we're going to go to another commercial, and then I got a couple emails while we've been talking. That a couple people with some questions, if you're not going to mind answering those, we're going to shift gears out of the wind and answer their questions. So we're going to go to another four-minute commercial break. Yep. So just hang tight. D&D Delivering the Truth in New York State and beyond. We'll be back in four, guys.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We are hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That party's for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually, but for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps. That they do not exist. So who wants to work for the IRS? Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something luck heirs who will let us get away with it.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hey, everyone. Proof here. Just wanted to ask you guys, are you guys tired of all the mask ordinances that are passing all over the place with people telling you that you're not allowed to buy and sell unless you have a piece of fabric over your face? Well, we sure are tired of it. Please check out realbarefaceislegal.org and help us get together to fight these mask ordinances. You can also find Bareface is Legal on Facebook, either as a group or a business page. Anyway, help us fight back against these stupid mask mandates. RealBareFaceIsLegal.org.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias. But they are worried that someone will say something to them. So everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say so. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media.
All right, we're back. So, Vic, we have an email that was sent in from a listener. Her name is Julie, and she's from Niagara Falls, New York. And she wants to know your thoughts on the electric vehicles and the push for this.
Well, I got quite an opinion on them. Today there's a story about the Hummer. It just went electric. A taillight on it got broken, and the guy is very upset when he was told. And there's a lot more, but he got very upset when he was told to replace the taillight on his Hummer was $4,800. The cost to replace the battery is $35,000 to $60,000. On a smaller, between $15,000 and $30,000. So over in Europe, they have junkyards over there that look like new car parking lots that are full of electric vehicles because people just throw them away instead of buying a new battery because they're not worth it any longer. The battery costs more than what the car is worth. So as far as them being green, let's talk about the cobalt and all the chemicals they use to make the batteries, all the lithium ion, all that stuff there. They have... They used to mine for it in California, but they outlawed it because it was so polluting and it was so expensive, too. They no longer mine it in California. It's available in Afghanistan. It's available in China. And I believe India has it, too. But the problem with this is they don't use safety regulations like our OSHA. We have 8-9-year-old kids, some younger, some older, but not much, working a dollar a day picking up all these chemicals or all these products up out of the ground that are shoveled up by big bulldozers or steam shovels or whatever. And they go through and they pick the cobalt and the lithium up, and then it gets processed and then it gets put into your battery. But that's child slave labor. I would never own an electric car, even if it meant free gas and the batteries were $20, because of where they get the batteries from. Matter of fact, it wasn't that long ago, Barack Obama gave $500 million to, I believe it was Solandra, to build a battery plant in California. That's where they were mining it at the time. And they never produced one battery, and they went out of business. Not one battery ever got produced, and they went out of business. That's $500 million a year tax money. Let's talk about distance. Remember just recently we had that hurricane in Miami? Could you imagine being stuck in that freeway in an electrical vehicle that only gets 200 miles to a charge, and you're stuck there not moving for hours upon hours in your car, and the battery dies? I didn't see it, but from what I understand, there was a lot of electric cars that were parked on the side of the road that got stuck in the flood water and stuff like that because they didn't have the gas to get out. They didn't have the energy to get out. New York City, let's talk about New York City and electric cars. There's Long Island has 8 million people. New York has 9 million, I believe it is, or 8.5 million. There's so many people are leaving. But what are they going to do with their cars? Right now they fill them up and they put them in apartment buildings, but they're actually garages or carports. They just look like apartment buildings. And they're fine because they fill them with gas. Are they going to be throwing electric extension cords down an 80-story building to charge up their car? No, they're not. They're trying to get people in the larger cities to move to mass transit. And I don't know if we're ready for that. I don't think we're ready for that. I talked to a geologist who said we're 70 years away from mass transit being a good idea. Of course, you all know about the subway killings going on in New York and the robberies and the people getting pushed in front of the railroad tracks or onto the railroad tracks. So electric cars, like I said, I would never want an electric. It takes me maybe 5 minutes to go from empty to full at a gas station. And it takes an electric car anywhere from an hour, and you can't let them go below 20%. So the average to charge an electric car, depending on the make and the model, is anywhere from 2 hours to 12 hours, and in some cases, 24 hours, depending on the brand. So if you're driving an electric car and it's cold, it's in wintertime, and you live in the Northeast, you're not going to get that 240-mile range that they say you're going to get. You could cut that in half just because of the cold. So, I do know people that have electric cars, and they're happy with them for in-town driving. But the other thing is, that just came to my mind, with our electric rates going so high, I read a paper about 2, maybe 3 months ago where they said with the electric rates shooting up so high that the cost of the charge is going to be more than the cost per gallon of gas. So, what they're doing is they're getting rid of the middle class with all this green energy. Now, this is part of the political side of it. They're getting rid of the middle class because you're either going to be able to afford the electric car and be able to afford the electric bill coming to your house, or you're not. And if you're not, that's where the government's going to have control over population because there's a lot more middle class and poor people than they are rich people. So this is all part of Agenda 21. I don't want to sound like a theory, conspiracy therapist.
That's okay. We have our tinfoil hats on too.
Yeah.
So we know all about it.
Right. But this is what it's going to cause, and it's going to cause people to move from their homes in the country into the city. And people that have them in the city right now, who got a spot to charge them up, and they only drive 40 or 50 miles each way to work, they're great for that. They're great for that until they need to buy a new battery 5 years down the road, or if they, God forbid, have a short or a fire in their battery itself, then they're without a car permanently or until they buy a new one. And I don't know if the insurance company are going to call. The problem with the cells in these batteries is they can overheat very easily and cause a car to burst into flames. There's videos of a bus in New York City, an electric bus in New York City, where the flames are so intense, and it happened just like a night bomb off went off in Vietnam, and a bus just burst into flames that fast. And it burnt people that were nearby, and it burnt firemen that were trying to put it out. So they got a lot of problems, a long way to go with research and development. Even Elon Musk said electric cars are not ready. And he's the one with the Tesla, isn't he?
Yeah, in fact, his deal just came through, and it's concrete with Twitter. So he's the new owner of Twitter.
That's beautiful.
So that should be interesting.
Well, you know, the other thing about electric cars is you had that laundry list of costs of how to make, you know, what it costs to build a windmill. I saw something similar to that about the costs that it takes just to make these electric car batteries and, you know, the rare earth metals. And exactly like you said, you know, it's all done child labor and, you know, these people are keeling over. But, you know, I guess China and India have so many people, they don't care if they lose a few of them in the mines. But all the gallons of gasoline, all the gallons of diesel fuel, all the minerals that it takes to make these batteries, and they actually had a $5,000 rebate or something like that, you know, that Biden or Obama did, you know, for electric vehicles. But the average electric vehicle is like $80,000. So, you know, they always complain about giving tax breaks to the rich. But that was a tax break to the rich because the common man is not going to spend $80,000 on a car.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's very true. And if you think about it, if you're in the audience right now and you're thinking about buying an electric car, I strongly advise you not to buy a used one. You have to buy a new one because you have no idea what that battery's been through. Oh, and by the way, if they get wet, like if you have a sudden downpour and the water comes up into your car, like it happens all the time around here because we have a lot of valleys and the streets just flood. And you drive your electric car into one of them puddles that come up to the floor of your car over the top of that battery is going to burst into flames. As soon as you park that car and turn it off, it's going to catch fire.
Well, and then, you know, like once in a while, I think like every 2 months on your electric bill, it actually tells you where the electric comes from. And, you know, the majority of it, at least up here, is, you know, coal, oil, nuke. You know, very little of it comes from wind or solar farms. So
3% of the nation, 3% of the nation gets its energy from green energy. 3%. That's how far away we are from developing it. And the estimated cost of going all electric, all wind, is over $4 trillion.
Yep.
Who's
and,
putting
you know,
that in the budget?
And the greenies complain. They say, oh, well, look at France. France doesn't burn any oil or coal to make their electricity. Yeah, they're like over 80% of their electricity is nuke. You know, and new nuclear technology is really, really good. But we haven't built a new, you know, a nuclear plant in this country in, I think, about 40 years. And I think most of our nukes.
I think 60 years. They went up to
right.
the 60s.
You're right. It's a long time. And most of our nukes are reaching end of life now. So what are we going to do? You know, live with brownout?
Uh-huh.
Here's the problem with the United States nuclear energy. Back when they built them, they didn't have GPS like we do today. So when those nuclear rods came to end of life as far as the plant goes, they still have 100,000 years worth of radioactivity in them that will kill if it's exposed. It'll wipe out the whole city of Binghamton if they were exposed to that one nuclear rod. What they did with those nuclear rods back in the 60s when they were spent, and they're not doing it anymore, thank God, but they're out in the desert. What they did is they encased them in steel and water, concrete, steel, more water, and they bury them in the desert, and they don't know where they are. And now the deserts are being irrigated, and they're being farmed, and one of these days, a tractor pulling a plow or somebody building a house with a backhoe is going to open one of them up. And, you know, I love the idea of nuclear energy, and I thank God we got GPS now. But there's a lot of problems sitting out there from our past, just like the Love Canal was. These old nuclear dump sites are going to be like that.
Yep. Good point.
And you show me one green energy supporter that's willing to have nuclear rods buried anywhere within 100 miles of their home, and I'll show you a liar.
Yeah.
Or a dumb person. You know? Mm-hmm. Nuclear is going to be the future energy, I believe. I don't believe it's going to be wind and solar, not for another 50, 60 years.
Well, in solar, you know, it used to be that the return on investment was on that was about 15 years, and that was the life of the solar cells. So there was no return on investment. They take a lot of silver, from what I understand, and the solar panels take a lot of rare earth minerals.
Neodymium. The battery, if you're storing the solar, which you have to store if you're going to be all solar, you have the neodymium, the cobalt, and all those chemicals again. Or all those, you know, you know what neodymium is, right? That's magnetic material. It's found in the core of the earth. Yeah, but, and then you got the cobalt and the lithium and all that. Same thing for the batteries for the solar. And there's not enough of those metals in the earth for the world to go all power. We have to have fossil fuels. We're sitting on over 400 years of it. Let's get off our butts and develop solar and wind to where it's self-reliant, not reliant on the middle class and the poor people to pay taxes into it. We can do it, and we are doing it, but it's not ready yet. The research and development just isn't there. And by the way, the oil and gas companies, they are spending, like the bigger companies, are donating $100 million, $200, $500 million a year to the solar and windmill companies, not to the companies, but to the research and development of it, so they can get to it, because that is the future. I'm not saying this stuff isn't in the future. It is in the future, but 50 to 75 years out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk just a little bit about solar then.
Yeah, we have about 5 or 6 minutes left.
All right, real quickly, the solar system, they've improved them already. They have a 25-year lifespan. They pay themselves off after about 10 years. But the problem is they use 5.5 tons of copper for your average solar farm per megawatt. That's per megawatt. I'm sorry.
Wow.
And you can check that on copper.org. That's where I got that information from. They also use a lot of steel, which again is mined, which is 35 to 40 tons of steel. All the steel for your solar comes from the same place the solar panels come from. That's China. We're enriching other countries to build this. We're not making silver in Philadelphia no more, in Pennsylvania. It's all being made over in China. We're buying and importing China. Now, Trump, as much, people don't like the guy, but so we bought American-made steel. Well, Biden already tossed that out the door. We're back to buying it from China. So we're enriching China with solar panels. Again, the kids are used as slave laborers in these solar plants. There are videos of the Yellow River in China, which I believe is one of the largest, if not the largest river in China, where people are down in the river. There's no fish, or there's fish floating and thousands of fish along the banks of the Yellow River. I actually saw a video where people were floating dead in that river because of all the mercury and the fluoride that are used. Those are two bad chemicals that are used in the manufacturing of solar. I don't know where the mercury goes. I don't know if it's in the solar panel or if it's used in the manufacturing process. But these people are dying over there, and they've got, there's video of thousands upon thousands of Chinese people protesting the solar panel manufacturing plants because they dump all the coal ash that's used in the manufacturing of the steel on their farm field. Coal ash contains mercury, lead, arsenic, and another one I can't think of right now. And they're dumping this all on where the cows and their rice paddies are. They're dumping it all on top of that, and now their meat is infected with it. Their food's infected with it, and people don't realize that green energy here just means filthy energy all over the world, in India and China and Germany. Germany, I don't know if you know this or not, but they couldn't compete in the manufacturing market because the cost of our manufacturing was 17 cents per kilowatt hour. Theirs, when they went to all solar, shot up to 84 cents, I believe it was, which took them out of the competitive market for manufacturing all products. So now they're building 10 new coal-fired power plants a day so they can get back in the market. And New England states, right here in the United States, they were buying their natural gas because Cuomo and Hochul, they won't allow a pipeline to go from New York to the New England states. They won't allow it to go up through 30-inch pipelines, which are very safe, very safe. They're letting them buy it by and bring it by train. But it was cheaper for them to buy it from Gazprom, which is a Russian-based company, and the gas was coming over in the form of liquefied gas. And they were bringing it over and ship, which only gets 8 inches a gallon, and put it in three different ports in New England so that the people there can pay. They're paying six times what we're paying for propane right now. But because of the war in Ukraine, they're no longer getting it from Gazprom. They're getting it from Venezuela, and it's costing even more. So while we're paying $400 a month for a 1,200-square-foot building, they're paying $4,800 a month to heat their home if they're not burning wood, which means they're cutting down the very thing that eats carbon out of the atmosphere. So it's a very bad cycle. It's a very bad cycle. And I feel bad for New England because they live in Democratic states, and they shot themselves in the foot with the government with this Green New Energy deal. And now they're paying the price.
Really informative, interesting conversation and interesting points. I mean, I totally learned a lot from you tonight.
Yeah.
Everything I said, you can Google and check it. Like I said, I can't. I'm going much from my memory because I've been doing this so long. And meetings that I've been to included meetings with geologists, people in the gas and oil industry, people who do financing. I forget what you call them. I'm getting old here. I'm pushing 70. These people they break it down for you. When you go to these meetings, you take notes and you learn. And I've been to hundreds of meetings. I've been to every town board in New York. Last year, Kevin Beach, the mayor of Long Island, Lynbrook, Long Island, invited me down to speak to the Long Islanders how come they couldn't get no more natural gas. And the reason for that was because Cuomo got rid of number 6 fuel oil. And they made all the apartment buildings, the high-rises, convert from fuel oil to natural gas, but denied pipelines. Now, the people on Long Island who were building new homes couldn't get natural gas. They had to buy electric, or they had to apply for electric. And National Grid is their electrical service in that area. And Governor Cuomo told them that National Grid, well, I don't know if it was Cuomo himself. Like I said, I'm going from memory here. But they were told by someone in Cuomo's office that National Grid created a phony spike in the price of natural gas to drive the price up. But the reason the natural gas went up is because Cuomo wouldn't allow the pipelines in, yet he restructured the number 6 fuel oil to natural gas. And now there's a huge shortage from the Brooklyn Bridge, right on up through New England. I was talking to Esposito, I think his name was, who's a councilman from Long Island, and he was telling me about a guy who was right across from where I spoke to about 500 people. Right across the street, there was a guy who had natural gas service already in his restaurant, but he shut down to remodel at a cost of $500,000. He remodeled the restaurant. He called for the natural gas to be turned back on. No, we're not. You have to go electric. He lost that $500,000. He lost the building because of that. And that's just one person. One person.
Yeah.
Are we on the air? Yep. So I've been everywhere speaking on this subject. I get attacked a lot because I do go from memory, and it's not perfect. I'd also go by notes, and those are perfect. If I were at my computer, I'd be able to give you a website for everything I know.
You did a great job tonight, and you can send me those websites if you want, and I'll be sure that I get it up on the event page. We are going to, in our Facebook page, we're going to have to wrap it up for tonight. We have just a couple minutes left. We appreciate you so much being on tonight. We learned a lot. It's a different type of tune of show than we usually do, and I liked it. We're going to be able to find this podcast on iHeartRadio, FreedomizerRadio.com, BlogTalkRadio.com. It's also on Apple Podcast, and we'll be sure that we get it up on our Facebook page, and I will send you the link when it's up tomorrow. Thank you again so much for joining us. Next week, we are going to wrap up, thank God, really, that we're going to be wrapping up the elections, and we're going to hopefully get some of our candidates on next week to wrap up their...
Am I still with you? Am I still here?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I don't know if you heard what I said or not, or if we were on mute. But
I heard most of it.
You heard most of it?
I just want to say one thing about the election, because you guys, when I first called in, were talking about mail-in ballots.
Yeah.
What's bad about those is look at Feinstein in Pennsylvania. Thousands upon thousands of mail-in ballots were mailed in before he had the debate with Dr. Oz. A lot of people are now saying they wish they never voted for him, but it's too late. Mail-in ballots, the election day should be the election day, not this early stuff. Now, the only one that should be mailing in ballots are people that are GIs that are overseas, veterans that are overseas, and people who are disabled, not able-bodied people. If the election's important enough for you, get out and vote on election day.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, we agree with that. You know, one thing that always amazed me is, you know, somebody will be ahead, and then somebody finds like 3,000 ballots in their garage. How does it go, you know, there's a chain of custody. How does it go from the election place to the garage back to the Board of Elections? You know, that's one that I can never understand.
Mm-hmm.
Before I go, I recommend you watch the video. It's free, 2,000 Mules.
Oh, yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, and your listener, too, should watch it. Whether they're pro-gas or pro-green energy, they should watch it because that has to do with the election. And elections have consequences.
So thanks again for being on tonight. D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond, we're getting ready to wrap it up tonight. Dean, did you want to add anything?
Nope, nothing
all right.
At all.
We're going to have a pretty hot show. We're going to see what candidates we can get on next week just to wrap up their year of misery, their year
their
of craziness,
yep.
So we're signing out for tonight. D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond.
Have
you guys
a good
have
weekend.
A good week. See you later.